I've always said that I wanted a grace church with Pentecostal music, but of course, doctrinally sound Pentecostal music. But I guess the reason for that is when I was growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church, and every morning, you know, we'd come in like we were dead as a doornail, and you'd hear "Love lifted me." Well, you know, and I was like, "You're lying." You know, I mean, this is awful. You know, if God lifted you, if he, you know, if you're saved and you know you're here to praise the Lord, then by all means praise the Lord. So, feel free to clap along. I love this song. This is by the Gaithers. You don't have to raise your hands, but anyway, feel free. It's a good fun song. So.
City far behind. Life was like a bundle of confusion. I was looking for a love that I could never find. So I tuned into a gospel station, heard about a sweet salvation. Then I gave it all to him, my heart, my soul, and my mind. Talking about the changes taking place in me. You know that I can't keep living without them. Things are getting clear and I can finally see. Life is like a celebration because I am a new creation. Now I can't stop talking about him. No, no, no. Ever again.
Can't stop talking about him.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Brother Steve, come on up, bud.
Wow, no going to sleep this afternoon. Jeff, once again, just like he did to me 2 weeks ago, kind of changed the second service a little bit. Can't stop talking about it. We'll probably come back to this, though, but just take a quick few moments here. Jeff, the words of that song, again, like Jeff started with there, you know, he said, listen to the words of the song. When you get saved, can't stop talking about it. There's only two things that matter in this Bible. One is how you get saved. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you know where you're spending your eternity. And this Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 how that Christ died for your sins, for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he tells us in Ephesians and in Romans that if we'll put our faith in that and that alone for our salvation, that's the only work required. It was done 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, shed his blood for our sins. Put your faith in that and that alone, you're saved. I said there were two things. What's the second thing? What about those you care about? What about your loved ones? And for that matter, what about everybody out there? Why would we want even your worst enemy? I mean, if you really ever study out hell, why would you want your worst enemy in hell? I mean, you wouldn't, but let's talk about it so that they don't end up in hell. And for that matter, let's just go ahead and fill up the body of Christ, because when does this event happen? When that last soul is saved, that completes, that fulfills, that completes the body of Christ. Then the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to get his body. Okay? The dead in Christ shall raise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up with those in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why do we rightly divide? To make sure we know the right gospel, so that we get the gospel of our salvation, so we are saved. I want to share my testimony. I want to share my wife's testimony with you. And again, Brenda and my wife Kim knew each other before Barry and I, either one of us knew Brenda or Kim. Kim, born and raised Mobile, and they were raised Catholic. They went to parochial schools all the way through 12th grade down in Mobile, McGill Tulane. And Jerry Locke, so Kim and her brother, her brother, when we hear me talk about AJ, they had a house together. So they're both in their young to mid-20s at this time. So this goes back to 81. And so they had a house together, and they did a business together. And Brother Jerry Lockhart was part of that business with them. And Jerry said, you know, Kim, and he, you know, Jerry has his Bible with him, right? And so he was at their house, AJ and Kim's house. And he said, Kim, let me ask you a question. If this Bible in your church said something different, which one is right? Which one is the ultimate authority? And she, you know, they talk a little bit, but she would never answer the question. And it took 3 weeks before she said, okay, Jerry, that Bible. And he said, thank you. Then he opened it. Okay, the point here is talking about it. Okay? That's why I'm trying to take a quick part here to talk about it. And this is how Jerry did it. He got permission first. First he got her to agree, because he could have just thrown stuff at her, right? Especially with the faith that she had at the time. Okay? He got her permission first, or got her to agree that this Bible is the foundation. Okay? If this Bible says something different than what you have been taught or what you feel you believe. You know, why do you believe what you believe? We talked about 2 weeks ago. Okay? She said the Bible. Then he opened it up to show her a few things. Well, she kicked him out that night. What are you talking? You know, I think you just need to take that book and head on out of here. Now, again, this was before I knew her, Rick. I gotta be careful. She might be on to that. But the point is this, he showed her the Word. The power is where? In the Word. Do you think she didn't think about it afterwards? Okay, end of the story. 2 weeks later, she got saved. But here's the point. Yeah, some people might not like what this Bible says at first. But the power is in the Word. I remember several occasions with our girls over the years raising them. And, well, you know, should we go there, shouldn't we? And, hey, the power's in the Word. Okay, just what the Word says, do. That's the instruction book right there in all facets of life. So, jump ahead two weeks later. Once again, Jerry's in. And Kim asks a question or two. And, of course, that's all Jerry ever needs, right? Boom, open, out comes the Word again. Okay, it's why you want to have a Bible with you, because when you can show people in the Word too, let them read it at the same time. Why does, when Jerry goes to Bible studies, why does he always bring five or six Bibles with him? Okay, so everybody can have their own copy. Everybody can read for themselves. Okay, especially adults. You know, if we can see while we hear, we retain like 70% more. As a matter of fact, that's why these, internets and videos are so much better, because, I mean, people are seeing and hearing at the same time. Just something about adult learning. But anyway, the point is, tell somebody about it. Okay? First, you know, are you saved? When did you get saved? When did you get lost? Right? We had that conversation before. Okay? Now start telling people about it. And Kim, bless her heart, when she got saved again. Now this is about a year before I met her. But she ended up losing all of her friends. So can this be a challenge? I'll use that word. Yeah. But she was telling people about it. Now, did she get a new group of friends? You better believe it. And did a lot of people get saved through her talking about it? And AJ, they started a Bible study in that home. That's how I met Kim, actually. They started, you know, they both got saved within weeks of each other. AJ was going to be a priest. I mean, he's 25, 26. He was still going to be a priest. And, you know, Jerry Lockhart preaching this gospel of salvation to them both is how they got saved out of a very works-based religion. Praise God for it, because she's, you know, been my wife of almost 28 years now. And so I met AJ. That same business, and I heard that they had a Bible study, and Jerry was telling me, he goes, hey, you know, he's got a sister too you might want to meet. And so I went to that Bible study, and that's where I first saw the Word rightly divided. I thought I was a saved man at the time. You know, I'd grown up, I knew all these facts back here. You know, hey, I knew Christ died. I knew he was buried. I knew he rose the third day. I've known that since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I remember I'd been in that study about three weeks, you know, plus or minus. I remember just saying, Jerry, time out. You keep using this term, rightly dividing. What do you mean? It was at the end of that study. And he just started going through a few scriptures here, and Paul being the apostle to the Gentiles, and like that Matthew 10 and 15 and 19 last week, you know, Christ telling the 12 not to go to the Gentiles. And I was just like, whoa. It just all unfolded. It was like, wow, that was so easy. Why doesn't everybody see it? I even got married thinking I was a saved man. So let's see, that was summer of 82. We got married in April of 83. And then it was July of 83 over here at Pineview Bible Camp, just west of Selma. And three men preached lost believers that night. And he said, when did you get lost? Whoa. Where's that term? And all three of them preached that message that night. And if ever, actually probably for 28 years, about every time I hear the Bible preached, the Lord's always using that person to preach at me. I guess I'm the only one that gets preached at, but everybody else, I hope, gets the benefit from it as well, because I always feel like people are preaching right at me, because it sure pertains. They said, when did you get lost? What do you mean? When was the moment? Not when you got saved. When was the moment that you realized you never had gotten saved? Because there never was a moment when you realize that there wasn't a moment, that you put your faith in that and that alone for your salvation. Sure, you may have always believed it. Okay, like I said, I believe that since I was probably 4 or 5 years old. and learn more about it and grew to know more about it and more about it. But that night, I'd walk the aisle three times. That night, I got baptized when I was 17. But that night, July 5th, 1983, is when I realized I had never put my faith in that. And when that blood was shed, it was paying the price for my sins. And that's the night after I got lost and tried to get Brother Moore to convince me that I really had been saved all along. That's the night that I got saved. And so, what are the two things that are important? And to tell people about it, Jeff, is A, your salvation, and B, everybody else's. And you don't need to know that Paul, how many times Paul went to the church of Ephesus, and was it Acts 17 or 19? Yeah, we're studying the Bible right now. Okay, we're going to learn some of the differences between Acts epistles and prison epistles. But at the end of the day, A, are you saved? And B, who else can we help get saved too? Because that's all that matters. Amen. It really is all that matters. And that's the only reason there is for studying this Bible. Okay? Yeah, there's some great stories back there too. Love the stories of David. Love the fact that one of God's, if you allow me to call him, favorite men, the man David. I think about some of the things he did. I believe he committed adultery. I believe he then committed a murder to cover up that act. And yet he's one of God's favorite men. A man of God's own heart. If we think we can be good enough, if we think we're better than somebody else, give me a break. Just look at some of these stories in this Bible. Rahab the harlot, look how she was used by the Lord. We don't need to be looking down at anybody, because there ain't one of us worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell. Tell somebody about it, right, Jeff? And matter of fact, I was talking. So I flew into Atlanta yesterday and got a rental car. So I was driving to Birmingham last night. I called Brother Jerry. There's one thing I was talking about today. I wanted to check my P's and Q's, if you will. But we got to talking about Brother Barry. And I said, you know, Jerry, it was part of the conversation. I said, you know, it's amazing, which comes into your song. It's amazing, Jerry, looking back on it now, I can see a change in Barry's preaching, I want to say about 3 weeks or 3 months prior to September 30th. Maybe 6 months. You know, three to six months. And it changed from standing up here and preaching the gospel to people, because, you know, I attend quite often with that cool tool right there between Barry and Jerry, you know, just going back and forth. But anyway, I could see the change in what Barry's preaching was. And he went from preaching the gospel to whoever was here to teaching you on how to share the gospel with others. And there is a big difference in the two. And it's telling somebody about it. Okay? And you need to understand, there are some great stories in this Bible, no question. But your story's pretty great too. There is power in your testimony. Just telling people. How did you get saved? Let me tell you how I got saved. No, Rick, I'm not a religious. You know, somebody ever says, you know, oh, so you're religious. No, Rick, I'd kind of take offense to that. I'm far from religious. Do I study the Word? Yes. But here's what I believe. I believe that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried and rose again the third day. And when he died for my sins, he paid the whole penalty. And there's nothing I can do for my salvation either. He paid it all on that cross, or I'm just going to die and go to hell anyway, because that's all I deserve. But Rick, that's how I got saved. And I'd love for you to come. Matter of fact, and if you can't come, let me give you a little card here. You know, gracebiblelive.org. Join us on Sunday morning. Join us on Wednesday night. You know, have your coffee there in your living room if you want. If you like what you hear, come join us and study. There's, you know, we fellowship a little bit too. You know, it's great to be around fellow believers. But Rick, it's all in this book. And that's what we can do, is tell somebody about it, Jeff. just like your song there. So once again, I'm going to keep blaming this on Jeff. He's my straight man over here, and he just has a way of changing a little bit. But I found that interesting. Again, some people call it coincidence. You know, in light of the discussion Brother Jerry and I are having about Brother Barry and some other things, it just seemed to fit in with that. A, are you saved? And B, who'd you tell about it this week? Okay? That's why the Lord leaves us here. Why doesn't He take us the second we get saved? He leaves us here for a reason. Okay? And a big part of that is to tell somebody about it so they can be saved. And they don't have to understand rightly dividing to be saved. Okay, we need to be careful. Why are we studying? Why do you believe what you believe? Know that. Why are you studying what you're studying? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, like I say, it doesn't matter if you know, Acts chapter, what happened in Acts 1, what happened in Acts 2. Paul got saved in what chapter? Oh yeah, Paul, Acts 9 was the appearing unto Paul. Okay, all you need to know is the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That's it. You don't need to know that when you get to James and Hebrews, all of a sudden works are part of salvation. And oh, before that, you know, by the way, did you know that Christ really even called a Gentile woman a dog when she was seeking His help because her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil? And He called her a dog? Did you know that? That doesn't have anything to do with their salvation. They don't need to understand that. We don't need to confuse it. We need, you know, again, why do you, y'all, you need to know why you believe what you believe. And again, why are we studying what we're studying? Okay? There are passages in here that kind of tell us to beware of, and people, beware of just trying to learn things, you know, knowledge puffeth up. Hey, I know rightly dividing. You got it. Ever learning and never able to come unto
the knowledge
of the truth. Okay? So be careful. Matter of fact, Acts... While we're in Acts here, 18 and 19. Let's go ahead and open. Let's get into the Word. Let's let the Word do the talking here. We were reading and kind of skipped over in Acts 20. I told you Acts 20:24 was, you know, one of my favorite verses. Let's start there. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might, this is Paul speaking, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take ye to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Watch what he says now. Take heed, warning, hello, listen. 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Okay? Look at that warning right there. Now remember, let's get this back in context in case you didn't hear us in the first hour. Back at the very beginning, verse 17. So to whom is Paul speaking here? Verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Okay, so that right there is putting this into context. That's to whom Paul is speaking in verses 28 through 31. The elders of the church at Ephesus. And as we saw earlier, okay, he had been there for how long? Okay? 2+ years. Okay? 3 years in the synagogue. They rejected him. Excuse me. Thank you. 3 months in the synagogue. The Jews rejected him. He went to the school of Tyrannus. Started speaking there. 2 years. So he knew these men well. And look at that warning that he gave them. The elders of the church now. This isn't the church he's talking to. The elders of the church. Let's just read those two verses again. Verse 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing, after Paul leaves them, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, even of your, and I'm putting the word even in, also even of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, but why? This is the key, that last phrase. Okay, to draw away disciples after them. Okay, just like we said earlier, you know, the men that the Lord has used, like David, are just men at the end of the day. No better than any other man. And that includes men that might stand before you and teach in the pulpit. Okay? That's why we need to test what is said. Because men have egos. People have egos. That verse 30 there, to draw away disciples after them. Okay, it is more important, you know, that people understand what's in this Bible, that first of all, the gospel of their salvation, how to share it with others. Okay, yeah, we learned some more things in here as well, but those are the two things that matter the most. But people have egos. Let me try one other verse possibly. Okay, go to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And watch verse 8. Beware. I think when he uses the word beware, we ought to beware. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay? So just, you know, and here again, kind of goes along with the whole theme of Galatians. All right. Good, 25 minutes. Let me try to get back on track where we were here. Jeff, again, I appreciate you, if I may say it this way, allowing the Lord to kind of work through your songs and songs, the words to, I hope there's something in that message for you, but A, are you saved? Yes or no? I mean, that's a yes or no question. I'm not working on it. Doesn't work that way because there's a moment in time. Boom. All right? There's a moment in time. I still remember when I was 16 years old. I think it was my birthday, January 22nd, but I can still remember going to get my driver's license. There was a second I didn't have a driver's license, and as soon as that guy signed that paper, I knew, okay, I can drive now. Yeah, I worked on it, but there was a moment in time. For 1 second I wasn't, 1 second I was. I worked on getting engaged, and I remember taking Kim's parents out to dinner that night. Kim didn't even know I was in town, and we went to dinner because I was working on getting engaged. I was working towards it. Father said yes, went, knocked on Kim's door. She thought I was out of town. We went for a drive down to the Gulf. Where's, over in the room here, but Alan. But went down to Gulf Shore State Park, took a walk on the beach there, whipped out that ring, asked Kim to be my wife. There was a second I was not engaged, and she said yes. A second later, we were engaged. April 2nd, 1983, Jerry Lockhart stood with us there at the Grand Hotel down in Fairhope, and we went through a ceremony. We've been working on getting married. We've been learning about it. There was a second I wasn't married, and Jerry said, "I now pronounce you man and wife." I don't remember exactly what time it was. I do remember the date. You know, Kim put it on the inside of this ring for me. Okay. But the point, you get the point. I can go back to my high school graduation. I don't remember that date, but I can sure remember the events about it. I remember we were out in the football field, and they had all the seats out there, and, you know, we had a ceremony. And I remember the principal saying, you know, "I now pronounce you graduates of the 1977 class of Downingtown High School." And we threw our caps up in the air. There was a second, you know, for how many, 12 years we're going through school, working on graduating, right? Been working on it. There was a split second where a second before, I was not a high school graduate. A second later, I was a high school graduate. So it is with salvation. When did you get lost? When did you realize that there had never been that split second in your life? When did you get saved then? Because it's one thing to recognize that. You still got to get saved. Okay, I now realize I'm lost. When did you, you know, it took me about 2 hours after that, after I got lost, to give in. Okay, you know, Lord, I'll let my ego go. Yeah, I am a doomed sinner. A sinner doomed for hell. Not worth the gunpowder it take to blow me into hell. But your son died on that cross 2,000 years ago. And when he shed his blood, he paid the penalty for the sins that Steve Gottberg committed. And Lord, either that was enough for me to be saved, or I'll go to hell anyway, because I sure can't do anything about it. Okay. So tell somebody your testimony. Okay? And the cool thing with this internet now, you don't have to. Yeah, we'd love to have them come to church, to, you know, to 10 o'clock, to 11 o'clock, come fellowship with us. But you know, some people, maybe that's maybe inconvenient, but maybe they just don't want to go that far yet. Well, I don't want somebody to know I'm not going to XYZ church. You know, I'm going there instead. Okay, here's the internet. Maybe you want to get some little business cards printed up. I bet you many of you do. You know, gracebiblelive.org. Okay? And put it on there. Put the times on there. Hey, just join us by internet. Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of people that are not able to get out of their home because of sickness.
Great point.
And, you know, that they have the opportunity to learn. And so there's just a lot of different people other than, I'm not ready to go. There's a lot of people that want to go. It's just laid up. I can't.
Yeah. And the point that's being shared for those on the internet is that there's many other good reasons that people might not be able to come as well. They may be sick. They may not be able to get out. They may not have transportation, might have work. And, of course, that's why the team here. And, boy, I'll tell you what a time. I'm looking at Larry over here being part of that team. But I just saw the room back here, and I saw Alan, I guess, and Gene are becoming part of that team, and man, what a production.
Also being out of town right now.
Being out of town.
They can get their families watching with them.
Yeah. Like me, from, you know, my family from Denver, and how we've been able to join you the past couple of years. You know, between you and Jerry down in Austin, you know, going back and forth. So it's been great. I've texted Barry many times when he'd ask for a text, and, you know, and I'd watch him up here. I'm not that brave. I can follow Jeff and let him lead me a little bit in his songs. If I tried to do this text and stuff, I'd really get confused up here. Okay. So, let's come back. Ephesians 2 is what we were talking about. In the first hour, we looked at the Bible here in Acts 18 when Paul first went to Ephesus. Acts 19, and in Acts 20 is when he calls the elders of the church of Ephesus to him. And actually, let's read this to make sure that we keep this in context for later. Um, Okay, verse 25 of chapter 20. Okay, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more, is what I want you to see there in that verse in chapter 20. Remember, he had been there the last time. He was there for at least 2 years and 3 months. He had been there other times as well. Okay, then, verse 36 of chapter 20. And when he, Paul, had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all being the them from verse 17, called the elders of the church from Ephesus. Okay, prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Okay, so I'm hammering home a point here, right? Paul says he's never going to see these people. This is Acts chapter 20. He doesn't, bless you, he doesn't write the book of Ephesians for at least another 10 or 15 years. Okay, that's going to be a key part here. It's at least, it's a prison epistle, okay? Matter of fact, I have in my Bible and that it was the last epistle that Paul wrote to a church. It's not the last book that he wrote. It's the last one he wrote to a church. Okay, now you should probably test that out. I'm kind of taking Jerry and Brother Moore, but I've heard them preach that. That's my proof to you. And either I'm going to show you in Scripture, or I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you, because don't put your faith in men. Okay, now, so let's go back to Ephesians 2. Remembering that this is now written 10 to 15 years and maybe even longer from that time period here in Acts 20 when the elders of the church wept, fell on his neck and kissed him and wept because he said they wouldn't see him again. But about 10 to 15, maybe longer years, maybe years longer, he writes this book back to the church at Ephesus. Now, keeping that in mind, let's go back and look at some things that we were reading here. And let's start again. Okay, so I want to suggest something, then we'll come back and read it. Okay, what I'm going to suggest is, so there's a nice aisle down the middle here. This group, you are part of the church. Back here in Acts 18, 19, 20, okay, you are Gentiles that back here followed, you were in the covenants of promise. Even though you're Gentiles, you, this group, because you were in that synagogue in Acts 18 when Paul came there. You were there for those 3 months. Then the Jews, the reason you were there is you were blessing them that blessed thee, right? The promise to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, in Genesis chapter 12. And I will curse them that curse thee. Okay? You realize that. You were in the synagogue. You heard Paul preach. Now the Jews after 3 months said, nah, that's enough. But Paul was obligated to go to the Jew first because of the promises made to Abraham at this time period. Okay, again, the cross. Okay, we're going out here about 20 years. Okay, at this time period, the Jews are still God's people. They were not yet, lo am I, not my people. Paul was obligated to go to the Jew first. In all of these books, the Acts, Epistles, Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Galatians, Paul was obligated to go to the Jew first. Any Gentile, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles, any Gentile that heard Paul preaching, heard it because they were blessing the Jewish nation. They were in the synagogue. They realized that's where they would have to be. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curseth thee. Okay? So they were in the covenants of promise, weren't they? Okay? So when we come to Ephesians chapter 1, let's start in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And so you are the church, Acts 18, 19, 20. You're going to see in a minute here, just might be some people that are actually the Ephesians that Paul is writing to. And we'll talk about that in a minute here as we get to further scriptures here. Okay, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye, this group, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, this group here, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, now wait a minute. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. If they were one of these people, Acts 18, 19, and 20, he wouldn't say that, would he? After I heard of your faith? No, he would have known about it. He knew about it so well. They wept together when he said, you'll see my face no more. I'm leaving. They went with him down there to the ship, and they cried together because they wouldn't see him again. Now he's writing back to the church. That, again, remember, he's writing this 10, 15, maybe years after that longer. And he's writing back to this church. Well, I think for 10, 15 years, there are probably men that stood up in front of, at the pulpit, if you will, preached the word to that church, and it grew. But you see, we did make the distinction here about Paul's Acts epistles and Paul's prison epistles. And that's a great study, too, maybe for some time in the future, is you look at how many times the word Jew is used in Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Galatians, the Acts epistles. And then you hardly ever see it even used here. Why? There's a difference. Let's read on. We're going to see that difference. Let's come down to chapter 2. Okay, and you, group here, people that have started since we left, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Like Brother Moore used to always tell us, sorry, but your children ain't any good either. All right, as we see there. Sorry, that pertains to your children too. There's none of us worth the gunpowder take to blow us into hell. End of the story. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, okay, us both groups, even when we both groups were dead in sins, hath quickened us both groups together with Christ. Parentheses. Do you think he's trying to isolate this? By grace ye, okay, I'm writing, I Paul right now, am writing to you, this group, by grace ye are saved. This is a distinction between the church, Acts 18, 19, 20, and the people after, because things changed. Okay? We're no longer in the transition, like this is still in the transition. Acts 28, Katie bar the door. The Jews are, lo am I, not my people, is what God called them. Not my people. It took all the way out here to Acts, or till A.D. 69, 70, whatever year you want to put that. Okay? Somewhere around A.D. 69, A.D. 70 is where Acts 28 is. That was the final rejection of the Jews. And God says, you are Lo-Amite, not my people. All of these books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Titus, Timothy, are written after Acts 28. They are called the prison epistles. Paul wrote them from prison. But it is, there are some differences in the doctrine. Okay, same gospel, in case you weren't here first message. Okay, same gospel for salvation, same way you're saved. Let's make sure we're clear on that. 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, same gospel of our salvation. Okay, but the difference is here, and why we see Paul, I'm pointing at Jeff over here for the camera because he asked some questions earlier. Okay, we see Paul doing different things back in this time period because of the promises made to Abraham. Okay, and I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee. But that ends right there at Acts 28. Therefore, everything in the prison epistles, you absolutely can take 100% to you, for your doctrine. Okay? All right, now let's come back here. So, the parentheses in verse 5, Ephesians 2, verse 5, he put it in parentheses to really highlight it. For by grace are ye saved. Ye, you people, who I did not know back here in Acts 18, 19, and 20. Okay, verse 6. And hath raised us, both groups. You church from Acts 18, 19, 20. And you, the people that got saved afterwards. Okay, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the way, here's again why he saves us. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, both groups, through Christ Jesus. How does he show his exceeding riches? I mean, I can just see it now on that day when Christ returns for his body and somebody seeing that guy Steve Gottberg going to be with the Lord, and you know, people that really know Steve Gottberg saying, wow, the Lord Jesus Christ could save a sinner like that? His exceeding riches. That's what he's showing. And if I can use the example, maybe this helps us all see it. Again, Dave, not that David would be going, oh man, now I've opened up a can of worms. But people like David, how's that? People like David maybe committed adultery, maybe committed murder to cover it up. Maybe, you know, whatever you want to call is a worse sin. Sin is sin is sin. You offend in the least, you offend in all. Okay? But the point is this. That's verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. Okay. Again, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I need to jump down. Okay, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, this group over here, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now watch this. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel back here, okay, and strangers from the covenants of the promise. They didn't go to the synagogue. They never did. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, because they were strangers from the covenants of promise, and without God in the world. But now, again, when you see the but nows in this King James Bible, pay attention. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, this group of believers now, of saints, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. Okay, not at the blood of Christ, not at the cross, but by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both, you, both, one. Hath made both. Verse 14, okay. Who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was, well, there's an aisle right here. That was a middle wall of partition between you, the church from Acts 18, 19, and 20, and you, those that were saved afterwards, those that never went to the synagogue, those that never tried to align themselves with Israel, those that were strangers from the covenants of promise. You are strangers, you are not from the covenants of promise. But now he's breaking down this middle wall of partition to bring us together, which is what 2 and 3 are all about here, and this is going to be tough to do in 3 minutes. Okay, verse 14, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was that middle wall? What was that partition? Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, Acts 18, 19, 20, strangers from the covenants of promise, might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain this enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, 3:1, for this cause. Took 2 hours to get the for this cause, huh? To get it in context. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And I'm going to even skip the parentheses in this one and come down to verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, and I am going to just stop right there and for time, but the reason, you know, there are those that would try to say what's going on here in Ephesians 3 is, okay, now let me start with what it is, what we just read. Okay, that's why we went through the Ephesians in 18, 19, and 20, how that was a different type of Gentile. It was a Gentile that was aligned. Okay, they were not strangers from the covenants of promise. The book to whom this is written are Gentiles who were strangers from the covenants of promise, just like at least me. I've never aligned myself with Israel. I've never been in, I guess I've been in a synagogue once or twice in my lifetime. Okay, I've always been a stranger from the covenant of promise, and I think most of you as well. Okay, you get the idea, the point here. Ephesians is all about bringing these two groups, these, Acts 18, 19, 20, Church of Ephesians, and those that were saved afterwards, those of you who were strangers from the covenants of promise. And he brings these two groups together, breaking down this middle wall of partition, thank you. Okay. But it was the law of the ordinances. especially the four that were given to the Gentiles that were in Acts 18, 19, and 20, okay? So it's not Jew and Gentile that we're bringing together here. It's Gentiles in the Acts period, Gentiles in the prison period. That's who's coming together here when that middle wall of partition is broken down. And that's the key. Okay, don't let somebody try to tell you that it was bringing Paul back in here with the 12, as some would try to teach you. Absolutely not. Else how could Paul say, in me first? Right here at Acts 9. Paul was the first. Okay, therefore, it just helps with these. Okay, so again, Jeff, coming back to your song, tell someone about it. Okay? The only thing, you know, why do we teach all, you know, why do we study these things out? Why is it important for us to know that Ephesians 2 and 3, making one new man, is bringing the two Ephesian churches that Paul, you know, the Acts 18, 19, 20 group, post-Acts group, churches, bringing them together. Why does that matter? Because that's a different gospel than what was preached back here in Acts chapter 2. That was preached when Christ was on earth. That was preached back here and back here. You need to know your gospel of salvation. There is only one gospel for today in 2010 and 2011. Okay, Paul preached it. He's the only one in the Bible that of the apostles, if you will, that disciples that preached it. Presents it to us. That's why it's key. And like Jeff's song said, now go tell someone about it.